Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to This Song Is Yours. We're a music podcast that chats to artists, musicians and creatives on their songwriting craft and upcoming projects. I'm your host Simon Fink and welcome to episode 291. Our guest today is Australian three-piece Saphia. The ARIA Award-nominated electronic band are releasing their third studio record this coming Friday, titled A Lover's Guide to a Lucid Dream. Before we get to our chat with band members Michael and Harry, please make sure you subscribe to this pod on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever application that you use. Also, please ensure you're following us across all of our social media channels. Details for all can be found within the show notes of today's episode. Our guest today is Saphia. The electronic indie three-piece from Canberra began back in 2009 between friends Ben Woolner, Michael Bell and Harry Sayers. The guys originally listed artists like James Blake, Purity Ring, Disclosure and Major Lazer as inspiration for their sound, and began finding success after taking out the Triple J Unearthed Grooving the Moo prize back in 2012. Since then, they've gone on to release a number of gold-certified singles like My Love Is Gone and Starlight, and they've also collaborated with artists like Peking Duck and Alice in Wonderland. Later this week, we'll be greeted with a brand new studio record from the guys in the form of A Lover's Guide to a Lucid Dream, which is another brilliant addition to their catalogue. In today's episode, we're chatting to Michael Bell and Harry Sayers from the band about how this record proved more difficult when it came to songwriting and how they were able to move past that hurdle. We talk about how Australian electronic acts are able to produce such incredible sounding music that sounds giant in scope, but also organic and natural at the same time. We also discuss debuting some of these songs live and taking them across the country later this year. Now, a quick disclaimer, this episode was due to come out after the release of the record, but a scheduling conflict meant that it's running ahead of the release. In the episode, we do refer to it being out now, which is almost kind of true. A Lover's Guide to a Lucid Dream will be out this Friday, and you can find where to pre-order or buy this record and their tour dates in the show notes for today's episode. We also want to say a massive thank you to Rhiannon from Positive Feedback for her help with today's episode. Here is our conversation with Saphia. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Michael Bell and Harry Sayers from Saphia. Gentlemen, hello. How are you?
Very good, sir. How are you?
Yeah. I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, no worries. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having
us. There is a brand new Saphia record that is out right now in the form of A Lover's Guide to a Lucid Dream. Firstly, congrats on this brilliant new record. How are you guys feeling with new music coming out?
Great. I mean, it's been a long time coming. It's nice to finally have this record out and in the world. Mm. Been sitting on it for too long.
Was it 4 years?
Mm.
4 years?
Yeah. 4 years in the making, I guess, almost.
Which can be like quite a, especially in the life of a musician, that can be another record or so in terms of, you know, composing, writing, even putting out. So I imagine you guys, there must be a little sense of relief in a way.
Mm. Oh, a huge amount of relief. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it's been a long time coming and
it's weird having like, there's a few songs on there that are like pre-COVID days. So it's like So, like we're saying, it's just a relief to have them out and people actually hear them now instead of just like playing between each other or to family.
Yeah, so I feel like I kind of now listen to the record more, as a listener as opposed to a, an actual creator of it.
Yeah, which is nice. Yeah.
It is a very exciting record. It's the third from the band. Do you guys have any rituals or kind of traditions when it comes to putting new music out?
I don't think there's any real rituals or traditions.
You're saying like when we like release day? Like
yes, the release day.
Well, I mean, we're spending a lot more time together now, so it is nice to be together. We love to jump in a car or something and say it's on the radio being released and the premiere track's on. We kind of sit there and kind of go crazy in the car together.
Yeah, it actually happened recently. I think Float came on the radio and we were unpacking and we heard it. We just all jumped into the front seat together and we were just vibing out.
Yeah.
That's always fun hearing it on the radio. So never get over that.
Yeah. No, I would say that's a tradition in itself. I love that. That's awesome. record, I feel like almost not wasn't meant to be, but I know that this kind of the record and the songwriting itself, it really made you guys kind of work for it this time around. That it didn't come as easy as maybe previous records did in terms of songwriting and creativity. Was that? I imagine it was quite difficult to begin with.
Oh yeah, I mean, like Harry was saying, it sort of started at the beginning of the COVID period. And we're almost like, oh, this is awesome. We have all this time to now write. And little did we know that too much time is actually kind of counterproductive and you get kind of sucked into this never-ending cycle of unproductivity and which then leads to a bit of self-doubt, a bit of insecurity with your ability to write. And I guess we did go through a pretty big, it was like quite a roller coaster of creative productivity. But we're kind of now we've written it, it's kind of nice to look back and be like, we just had to kind of let it be what it was and stop forcing the process and just be okay with the moment and where it was. And after we kind of surrendered to that, it sort of started to snowball and turn into what it did become.
100%. Do you remember that turning point, that letting go moment almost?
Let me think. Yeah, I think actually it was upon releasing our first single from the album, which was the first release we'd kind of had in about 3 years, which was Falling Down. I think that song was almost like the turning point. We'd gone through so many different iterations of that track, trying to force it into a whole something that it wasn't, and then realized that the answer or the way the track was meant to be was like kind of right in front of us from the beginning, and we'd just been trying a bit too hard. And I think once we got over that, we realized the rest of the album sort of like, okay, let's just go with our gut feeling now and stop overanalyzing everything. And then I feel like that might have been sort of the turning point. In saying that, we did still the mixing process and everything was still a very not arduous, but what's the word? It proved to have its own set of difficulties that we finally got through. But it was hard. It was quite an undertaking, this album, and it's love. Like we said before, it's lovely to be on the other side of it and now look back at it fondly. And I think we're pretty proud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, as you should be, and very diplomatically put in terms of addressing frustrations. This is a gorgeous record, guys, and sonically, I think that it's one thing that Australian electronic bands seem to do really, really well. And in my mind, when I think of like artists like this, I think of yourselves and I think of Lastlings as kind of two examples of gigantic electronic sounding music, but that still also sounds organic and almost earthy in its tones and sonics.
Yeah.
Is that,
I guess, because that's been with the band since almost the inception, but with each record you seem to improve on that. How do you improve on that with each record? I guess, what is it that you're trying to push, or how does that kind of process work with each record?
I mean, I love how you bring up the kind of marrying of this sort of like organic and inorganic sound. It's something that I, like, when producing or when at the initial stage of experimentation with a song, that's something I always look for. I, like, because we're an electronic band, but a lot of the initial ideas are rooted in like this organic, these organic sounds, whether it's from like a, you're finding samples of a, of world sounds from Africa or whoever knows, and then trying to find a way to meld them and glue them together with the inorganic, which I think this album has a fair bit of.
There's a, yeah, there's a lot of those textural elements, like lots of like vinyl crackles or like weird paper or
pretty subconscious as well, sort of like enters your brain without you kind of knowing. You do that sensory, what is that, ASMR kind of?
That's what it is.
I'm not sure how we get better at it though. Like, I don't know. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I guess it's just like a maturity thing, like we're, and just like kind of learning as we go, and just experimentation, really. It's you always want to try and improve on the last album, and kind of feels like that's what we've done.
100%. It I think that and a lot of the artists, songwriters, bands, whoever that we've spoken to on this podcast, they have previously spoken about like experimentation within their songwriting, and you know, trying to I guess somewhat push an envelope while still very much remaining true to themselves or to the project. How do you guys, I guess, kind of push experimentation, or is it something that you'll do separately and then bring to the band later, or is it something that you might do together in the studio and kind of nut things out from there?
I think it varies. I mean, I experiment alone, well, not alone all the time, but I'll just be sitting. I think Harry, we all do this, but it's kind of like you're in a science lab and you're sort of just mixing together chemicals and waiting for some kind of explosion to happen. Sometimes I'm like not sure, entirely sure what direction I'm going, but I'm waiting for a spark and I'm waiting for something to grab my attention and then further divert my...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Creative resources. I like them better too.
I feel like you can't get into that like science lab vibe with other people. You kind of need your own time to like get into the fine details and shit that would probably get annoying.
Yes.
If you were doing it together, like you kind of need to get, I get a little bit OCD with things and I need like a certain setup. Like I might need like, I used to have like a TV right next to my desktop just so I could, you know, get some inspiration from like maybe it's like a very like a landscape or
sick.
I don't know, just I, and it's just shit that if other people in the room it wouldn't work. So I need to be by myself. But when it comes to like maybe the more like bare bones and stuff that you can bounce off each other, like you know, chord progressions and maybe lyrics. We don't really do too. I'm not too much on lyrics, but more.
I guess it's funny because like that process, I find can be quite anxiety inducing. You're like, because you're kind of almost fighting in your own head. You're like, well, as a creative, you're tasked with like trying to create something out of nothing, I guess, in a way, apart from the inspirations. So I often sit in the studio looking at my computer screen going, for now, and then having to go, nah, not today. And I think that's like pretty much part of the creative process as well.
Yeah.
And the experimental process, being okay with the idea that you're not always going to be creating these big bangs from the
flow state.
Yeah.
So. The flow state is, I don't know how it comes about, but when it does, it's like bang, 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 bang. But
yeah, you've got to clear the mind.
I'm not sure how I get into that, but I definitely need to do my morning routine, otherwise that's not going to happen.
Is what constitutes a morning routine, if we may be so bold to ask?
Of course.
I do my walk with my fiance, and then straight to the gym, then go for a cold swim in the ocean pool, try to do some meditation, something like that, and then into work. Yeah.
What are that? It's like the non-negotiables. You need to do these few things in order to be able to function, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is very fair. So I can appreciate wanting to kind of have those ticked off the list before you're going to, I guess, change the mindset and do some creative work.
Well, that's the thing. It's that mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
100%. Yeah. I would, if I'm allowed to, I'd love to ask about the creation of one of my favorite tracks on the record. It was called No Reason. It's around, I think, smack bang in the middle of the record. I found myself returning to this track. Just, it might have been just due to the clicking of the beat. I'm not sure what it was, but I found myself in like a rhythm with it. Can you take us behind the creation of this track or the inspiration from the song?
Sure. Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I think that's the last song we pretty much included on the album.
Very last minute.
And it was actually it was like probably one of the quicker processes. So unlike the tracks like Falling Down, it only took us three or four sessions to actually have that song finalized and ready, album ready. But in terms of its like initial creation, I guess like we were playing around with a, because I know you're aware of like the rhythm in like the bass, it's like this sort of swung synthesized bass. We were sort of playing around with that kind of like, what's it, a shuffle? Is it a shuffle?
Yeah, or like a drag or a...
Yeah, drag, I don't know.
Something like that.
I'm not good with music terms. Probably already noticed. But, and it was sort of just like, I felt that there was something in that and kind of had a beat sitting there. So just, because we're constantly sort of writing throughout the album process as well, even like several of the songs never make anything. But, and then from there, I guess, like we'd sort of shown it to Ben. Ben had a few ideas he put on it, came up with this sort of like swagger, kind of like steezy melody, and I think it's pretty sexy.
Yeah.
But not
simple too.
It's very simple, yeah. It's not like, it was one of those tracks that was, like we said before, everything was done from the gut. We weren't trying to overthink it. Mm. And I think maybe that's why it can translate to some people. It sticks out.
100%. Thank you very much for indulging me with that. I do appreciate it.
I'm not sure it's hard to think back and remember how it all
sounded. Yeah, I actually haven't heard that song in a while too, so I'm trying to like, but yeah, it's a juicy one.
Yeah, it's juicy.
I can see it going off very, very much in a live setting and people getting involved in a live setting. Which, horrible segue, brings me to the fact that you guys are touring in October, November, December. How are you feeling about taking these new songs onto the road?
I'm feeling really good about it. We've already kind of learnt a lot of the songs as well, so we're not very organised. We're usually, you know, we almost learn the songs like at rehearsal before the actual tour, and it's not good for the nerves. But I think we're much better prepared now, and just keen to get. It's just nothing better than seeing, like, cause you always hear the reviews and like what people say on Instagram and stuff, but seeing the actual interaction and people singing the songs, like, oh my God, they like, they know all the lyrics. I just can't wait for that feeling. So,
yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I think it'll just be good to be able to share the album with the audience in a live setting and bring, I don't know, go through that sort of journey with everyone there and try and connect.
Yeah, really try to emphasize the songs in the live setting. Any like moments in like the in the record that you can hear and can maybe emphasize that in some way. Maybe even strip it back, do like a different version for. I don't know.
There'll be surprises.
Yeah.
Harry writes some pretty interesting live edits, so I don't even know what that, you know, who knows what this is going to be.
Yeah, I'll occasionally, like, just to, like, get ideas down, I'll make, like, I'll use, like, a session drummer plug-in and I just, like, I'll put, like, fills in and I'll be like, here you go, Mick, and see if you can do that still live. And he always does it. I'm always like, it's just a guide, but, yeah, he nails it. So, yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. It's going to be real fun. That's the one thing. We want to make it fun as well. Like, obviously, the album has some pretty, it's like, pretty heavy thematically, but I think there's still room to have fun with this in a live setting. And, you know.
100%. Is there and I know we're on a shortened amount of time today, is there a track either of you looking forward to debuting live? Something that you know you've put a lot of effort and almost, I want to say, a proudest moment to debut live from this record.
I don't know if it's my, I'm just, because I forgot about No Reason. And now I am like really looking, since you're saying that, I'm like, that is.
I was actually thinking the same. So that would be, yeah, that feels like a great live track, especially with, yeah, I mean, with the, obviously the crowd, but I can just see the, that's a song that would, you could really connect with somehow.
I think now that some of all the songs are out and like things like Float, I'm looking forward to seeing, and we all love that song. We're so proud of it. But I'm looking forward to seeing how that will now go down live and with the audience knowing the song, because we played it several times unreleased and it always went down like a kind of reaction every time. And so, now that they know it, hopefully the reaction's even...
It'd be quite surreal because that is probably one of the oldest tracks on the album. And for us to be like so excited about releasing it and then actually seeing people sing it, hopefully they'll be singing it. That'd be a cool feeling. But yeah, just that, for some reason that song just grooving out to it on stage.
It's a bit of a fist pumper.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that the crowd is going to be very enthusiastic is the word I want to use to summarize a lot of emotions I'm sure they're going to be going through, but that they're going to love this new album live. Both Michael and Harry, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I do very much appreciate it today. And congrats on A Lover's Guide to Lucid Dreams, which is out right now.
Thank you so much for having us. It's really lovely.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you so much.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.